Everybody, Susan Finch here with another episode of Rooted in Revenue. I'm here with my co-host, Lainey Sullivan. Hey, Lainey.
Hello. I was muted. All right, here we go.
We are taking this nice logical journey through these topics you wanted to cover. And the last one totally dovetails into this. The last episode was about a sustainable tech stack, but we got into security and discernment and all these other pieces of it. And the next logical step, I'm going to read it right here from the calendar. It says internal controls and security management, how to make sure you're protected. So that's where we're going to get into. We touched on a little bit in the last one about mainly on Google, Drive, about how to lock things down and tips on how to make sure you have the ownership of things. But we're not going to just focus on Drive. We're going to talk about the bigger picture. So Lainey, let's go.
So I'll just say first and foremost, I am not an IT security specialist in any way. So that, however,
Check with your IT specialist, check with your security and your legal before you take any, this is not legal advice. This right. is not security advice. We are only telling stories based from our experience and are sharing those stories with you and our opinions, but it's only based on our experience. You will have to figure out your own answers.
Yes, exactly. Thank you. Full disclosure. So I work with a lot of different financial firms, accountants, bookkeepers, financial planners, and there's a lot of security and internal controls that have to be set up. Think about a bank, like the amount of cash and money that flows through a bank, and there's internal controls and security that are set up. Well, bring that back and just lessen that security and lessen those internal controls just a little bit. You don't have to have that level, right? You don't have bank security level, but you need to be protecting your client information. If you work with a client and you collect their EIN number, their social security number, any personal information about them, you need to protect it. Bar none. That's all I have to say. No, I'm joking.
This even happened. So I realized this with getting taxes done this year, and I'm an S corp. I don't need 1099s. I've sent the information out to people. They did not update their accounting systems or their bookkeepers or whoever does it for them. So I'm getting 1099s with my social security number on it from 15 years ago, mm-hmm. rather than something current. And like, guys, we're not doing this. And please stop, delete my social security from your information, please.
Yeah.
That goes back so far. That was before I was a big girl with a big girl business. That was just when it was just me as a solopreneur. But please, and even if you are a solopreneur, folks, get a taxpayer ID, not your social security number. Somehow remove your social security number from anything that goes out to anywhere on the web.
Yeah. That's a whole other conversation. Yes.
Back to this. Sorry.
No, but it's true. Like you have to protect, your own information, much less your clients, right? So your own information needs to be protected. I'm shocked by how many business owners use a fucking piece of paper to write down their passwords. I walked into a company and next to her keyboard was her journal with all of her passwords, a financial firm with all of their passwords to get into every single piece of software in their business.
Because then it's not in the cloud, so it's safer.
Exactly.
That is what they're thinking.
Right. Exactly. Are you saving your passwords in Google, in your Google browser? And then if you are, and you lose your computer or you lose your phone, and you've got all your passwords saved and somebody has access to your tablet, your phone, your computer, your credit card information, and whoever else's information that you have saved in there.
Yep.
Clients, family, friends, it's all accessible. So if you're using a Google browser right now, I'd like you to stop. Google browser to save all of your shit, right?
Well, and that's okay to stop from today forward, but you got to rip them all out of there too and put them somewhere else. Them
yeah.
What's your feeling about Keychain? I'm still a fan of LastPass. They all get compromised at some point. I'm happy with LastPass. My husband uses Keychain. He uses Keychain because he's Mac and they just can't help themselves.
There's so many different ones. The top three that I recommend are Bitwarden, OnePass and LastPass.
Yep.
So what you want, if you're in a business, you want a password management software that has vaults. So you want to be able to have a vault for your stuff, for your personal stuff, your business stuff. You want to be able to share the vaults and take away the vault access. So when you have team members that come in, you can give them access, secure access to the credentials through the vault. And when they leave, you take it away and they have no more access.
And they can't make, and you make it so they can't make copies of it. They can't add people to it. And you segment it by their job. I mean, not everybody in accounting needs to have all the client stuff.
Exactly.
You don't need that. So you segment the vaults and folders, however you want to organize it, by their tasks and teams.
Yeah, there's a complete way to do it based on how your business is set up. But if you are using a notebook or Google browser or your phone, I mean, I love my mom, but she's got all of her passwords in a note on her phone for everything, bank accounts, credit cards, all the things. Sorry, mom, I put you on blast. But here's the thing, everybody. Not everybody. That's a very general statement. There are a lot of people who do it, and they're just not thinking about it. They're not thinking about somebody's gonna steal my phone or somebody's gonna have access to it. The dark web and the hackers can get into anything. I mean, here's the problem. Here's the thing that we will never get over. All of our information is already out everywhere. To pull it back is near impossible. What you have to do now is protect it as much as you can. And be really cognizant of how you're protecting it and how you're sharing it and who you're sharing it with. That's vital. It is not bliss to be ignorant.
No, or
Not.
lazy, because I have more clients. I deal with a lot of real estate agents, and we lock it down and we share our little vault and things, but their passwords are so similar or the same. And they
Right.
say, well, I gotta be able to type it. I said, no, you don't. You use the tool, you copy paste. You have to fill it in for you. No, you want these ridiculous passwords.
Yeah.
And you have to, because if you don't, it's gonna end up on the dark web. And so there are ways to search too to see the usernames you use commonly. Are they out there? Are they on the dark web? Have they been compromised? I will get notifications once in a while from vendors or even banks saying, hey, just so you know, your username has been found on, or this password has been found on the dark web. You might want to change some things.
If you want to protect your information, you can always go to like LegalShield. They have an identity thing, and then LifeLock are the two that have
Yep.
like identity protection
Go
information.
check. Run a check.
Yeah, it's really important to go double check those things.
You may have to set aside a Saturday to start tackling them.
It's a lot of work, you guys, but it's worth it to fix it. And it's worth it to take care of your clients' information. It's worth it to protect. You're liable. If you're collecting client information and you're not protecting it, your business is liable. And I don't know what kind of insurance you have on your business, but if you don't have insurance, you're now personally liable. Depending on how your business is set up, you're personally liable if you don't have those things set up properly. So you have to look and pay attention to how are you collecting information and how are you protecting it.
One of the problems is you can't control, though, again, if you're sharing things on Drive or other things, if your client chooses to share it with other people and you created it for them, this is why we go back to they have the ownership of everything. And if they botch up, you can warn them all you want and teach them all you want, but you can't control it, but to get yourself out of the liability for it.
Remove yourself from that.
Here's a dumb thing that put a visual on it. The dopey avatars you can put it for websites that still allow you to make comments. And they let the avatars go in there. Somebody can go in, change their avatar to a licensed image. And if that shows up on your website and you didn't know they changed it, you are liable for displaying that image. And you will have to pay the licensing fee. It's that type of things that you have no control over, except to not permit people to do that. So think of that. Think about a comment string with 500 comments. And if five of those people changed it to a licensed image, that website is liable for all of those images. It's that type of lockdown. That simple.
It happens that fast. It happens just that fast. I can't even tell you how. I mean, every single client that I have spoken to in the and prospect that I've spoken to in the last 90 days, not one of them has a password management setup. Not one. Not one. And I don't talk to just like one or two people. I mean, I'm talking dozens. And I'm like, here's your free tip. Go set up a password manager.
Get it out of your browser. Remove it from all your browsers, from Firefox, from Edge, from everything. Rip them out of there.
And then once they're out, delete.
Yep.
Don't leave them in there. Yeah.
No.
I'm like, it almost gives me a heart attack every time. I'm like, I've talked to dozens of people. And I'm like, how we're in 2024, people. All right. I just made this not an evergreen but we're in 2024 and we're still struggling with password security as a collective, as business owners. We gotta do
Choosing
better.
not to address it, choosing not to say it's a thing and it needs to be addressed. The
Yeah,
tools are there, they're
we gotta do
solutions.
better. You have to do better. Yeah. So that leads into internal controls into the business.
Okay.
So you are dealing with client information, and there's different types of internal controls for different types of industries. And I'm gonna focus on the financial because it makes it really breaks it down for you. I have a bookkeeping firm who works with a nonprofit who collects cash payments for stuff. Nonprofit brings cash to the bookkeeper and says, hey, will you take and deposit this for me? Which is okay. All that's legal, right? So AP, AR, right? Accounts payable, accounts receivable. So nonprofit brings these cash donations into the bookkeeping firm. Bookkeeping firm says, great, we'll make sure it's deposited. And then they go to the bank and they deposit the money. Deposit's wrong. Cash is missing. Who's responsible? Was it the nonprofit who miscounted? Was it the accounting firm who miscounted? Did somebody steal the money?
I
What
know, I know.
happened?
Because I was thinking about this when you were just telling that story. It's like, so when did the bookkeeper person count it and give her a receipt of what she received?
Well, it starts, yeah, it goes all the way back to the first initial collection of funds.
Okay.
And who collected the funds, who brought the money in, who counted it, who verified it, where's the receipt from the receival of the cash on both sides, right? So you want to receive the cash in the nonprofit side,
Right.
the business, right? Whatever, but you want to receive the cash. And if that cash is being driven somewhere, where's that receipt for the cash received and that acknowledgement? Does it match the original one? Then the receipt to the bank, does that receipt match those two? And where is the documentation for it all? So, and sometimes it can be just a miscounting of funds, right? It doesn't mean that somebody stole money, but there is that opportunity, that little scenario leaves a lot of opportunity for some theft, and it opens your business up to liability. So you want to have internal controls. You want to have somebody verifying the money's coming in and the money's going out, and the money's coming in and the money's going out can't be verified by the same person. They have to be verified by different people. So sometimes that's a 3 to 4 person process when you're doing a financial verification. Depending on how your business is set up and who's collecting it versus who's taking it versus who's verifying, like there's verification processes all the way through. So, one of my clients, there's 4 people involved in their financial verifications because of how the transaction happened.
Yeah.
And the documentation is saved. So, I just talked to a bookkeeping firm today. They received cash from a nonprofit, and their verification is a sticky note that says, yep, we received money. And then the sticky note gets thrown away. And I'm like, so there's no verification. So they do, they count it in front of the, they all count it together. The nonprofit comes in, counts it, they count it, they all verify it. It's on a sticky note that gets tossed.
Well, let's talk about Banking Patrol for a second. We
Yeah.
have chapters throughout the country. We have one bank account. They cannot have their own bank accounts because checks all come into us, credit card payments, donations all come into us, but they get cash. And so they give a receipt to the person that gave them cash, put a copy for them, two of them there. They, supposedly match. I'm not there counting it. They count it. They put it into their bank, personal bank account, and write us a check in that same amount that matches that receipt that was given to the person. It's turned in with their donation receipts and their quarterly reports. And for us from a remote, there's a lot of trust involved there because they could falsify the receipt. I would never know. There are places for bad things to happen right there.
If
And
you're dealing with money in any way in your business, you have to have internal controls in place. You're receiving credit card information, credit card payments, cash payments, check payments. You have to have something in place. You cannot have the same person doing AP and the same person doing AR.
right.
Because who's the double check?
So for me, it'd be better for them to Venmo it to the Binky account directly from the person donating. I'm going to give you guys $20. Can you just Venmo it? And
Just
that's
start
all.
doing digital. I mean, one way to do it is to create a digital trail.
Right. Oh, no, you just gave me a good reminder. I'm going to put that out to all the chapters in the next monthly newsletter that, hey, we're changing this. Accept cash anymore. You cannot take cash in. And then
No,
you like, for us, there are only like eight chapters that get money. All the rest just get fabric. But
just on the website, just go put the QR code for the event. So yeah, and if you want to take Cash App, if you want to take Venmo, if you want to take PayPal, just put those QR codes up on your website, for, that's great for nonprofits
No,
because.
that's a great thing. Yeah. And just put on the make a donation page. You can fill out this form, send something in, or you can do a QR code.
Yeah, and the difference between I'll just say this from a kind of off topic, but not, but for PayPal versus Venmo, PayPal does have a nonprofit
Yes, they
for
do.
free. Venmo does not. So you do pay the fee with Venmo, but I think
Not
it's minimal.
everybody uses PayPal and they won't want to, but PayPal lets you without a credit card. So anyway, there we go down the rabbit hole.
I
God specific.
know, right? But if you're dealing with money in any way in your business, you need to have internal control set up. So you need to look at how is the money coming in. And I can't tell you how to do it in your business. I can when I'm working with you, but from a general perspective, this is how you do it. Where is the money coming in from? Who's receiving it? How is it being processed? What happens after? Like, where does it go? Is it going into the bank? Is it being, is it being just being reconciled? Because, credit card payments, right? That's just a digital transaction. Cash and check, not digital. So, you go to the grocery store, you write a check at the grocery store now, it's now a digital transaction. So if you can make your checks a digital transaction by getting the little machine that and makes it digital, how whatever that thing is called. I'm not a semi that's not my area of expertise. But it's one way to digitize it that eliminates that step of having a manual transaction and having somebody's hands on it to making sure it goes all the way to the bank. So if you digitize it, it just goes, it's done.
And the bank apps are so sophisticated. I know I'm not a huge fan of Wells Fargo in 100% ways, but their app is great for making deposits and so is Chase. Makes it so easy. You can do it on the spot.
At most banks now you can do a mobile deposit.
Right. All
So
of
you
them.
don't have to go to the bank and then you just stamp it, deposit it, and keep it on record. So just looking at how the money's coming in and how the money's going out and who's handling all the sides of that money transaction and who's the verification. So if you have two people, one's coming, handling the money coming in, one's handling the money going out, who's the person verifying on either side?
Right.
So there's other areas and businesses where you could have internal controls set up. It just depends upon the industry and who you are and what you're doing and how you're handling it. But the money element from the financial side is the easiest explanation to show and explain how to make sure it works and is protected.
Well, and to think about all the steps in every process when you share a document, when you send it out for signature, we talked about that in the previous one. Who's getting it? How is it secure? How are you tracking it to see how many people open this? How many people was it shared with? Was it forwarded to? Just to have an understanding. And it might also, I look at those too. Yeah, it's checking everything and, watching what's happening. But it might be an opportunity to say, hey, I notice that you're always giving it to these three people. Should we include them in the meeting? And it's a great way to show that you're really paying attention to their accounts and that you're noticing there's some, these are some new players. I haven't seen these names before. Should we include them? And it's a good thing to review periodically. It's kind of like what Debbie's talking about. You can't manage what you don't measure. You and I talked about this. If you don't go back and look at the stats you're collecting from these processes, how can you learn from it to see if it's working, if you can improve, if you can take away a positive, if you can implement something new and engage with your clients more?
Oh, yes. Yeah,
Opportunity.
I think it's there's just so much opportunity. And again, ignorance is not bliss. So you need to really take a step back and really look at your entire infrastructure of how your business is set up and running. Are you protected? Where is your liability? Because that's what this is all about. Even in the last episode, when we talked about our tech stack, you start looking at your entire business infrastructure. How are you protected, and where are the open opportunities for you to not like for you to like have something happen, right? Where are your legal risks? Where are those risks at in all those areas for your information going out, for money being lost, fraud, scams? I mean, all of it. There's so much opportunity for so much shit to go sideways. So if you don't play it smart, then you're going to get nailed.
Right. No, I agree. I'd like people to replace the phrase ignorance is bliss to ignorance is optional. And it's not attractive. You can change that if you choose to. You're lazy if you say, oh, ignorance, I just didn't know. I was just ignorant of that because you chose to be. So either say, I chose not to learn that, take responsibility for it, or go learn it.
It's worth it in the end. It's kind of a pain in the ass to go through when you're in it, and I get that. Like, it's a pain in the ass to like have to go through this process. But it's so worth it in the long run because you don't have to do it again. Now you just maintain it. Again, sustainable processes.
There we go. Oh man, another good episode. Woohoo.
It.
I do too. This whole series is just it's worth listening to, taking notes. We will put as many notes as we can in the episodes and we'll share as much as we can. You guys have questions for us, ask us and we will answer, put in comments, places, whatever. Just tag us. Find us on LinkedIn, find us on our sites. LaneySullivan.com, SusanFinch.com, or Rooted in Revenue in all your favorite podcast apps. Thanks for listening.
Adios.
Never miss an episode. Check out RootedInRevenue.com and subscribe on the site to get weekly updates of when new episodes come out. We'll get you all the information you need to do your best with marketing and your online presence.